good.
Good morning, honorable members. I think we should start as on Fridays everybody is in a hurry to go home and they've got a catching of meetings. And I'm afraid about three opposition members have to leave, so we need their input before they leave. For us to be faster and to have the input of other members, I would like to skip the minutes, if there are minutes, and just go to apologies. Thereafter, we'll go straight into the matter. I've got apologies from Honorable Masuta, Honorable Watson from the SOP, Honorable Sosibo, Honorable Zulu, and Chief Nkosi Olomisa. They are engaged in other activities. Nkosi Olomisa is to be in Joburg. Actually, he's in Joburg since yesterday, since Wednesday night. Honourable members, in view of the limited time we have with the most of you, can we, right from the get-go, ask Advocate Corden to brief us on the last submission? We had the 7 submissions, but you got the last one, the 8th one. We consider to it that we will take it as well from the Cape Town Traders Union. We'll ask Advocate Gordon just to quickly go through it.
May I be extremely rude and procedurally wrong and just ask you how far you intend to take this report, the draft report that's been tabled on the Venus visit? Because I see things there that I don't agree with, and perhaps I could simply leave you notes on those if you intend to conclude that today.
It's not our intention to conclude that today.
Not?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Morning. Morning, honourable members. The document that I'm going to be speaking to this morning, they all look the same. So this one is dated 21 September 2010. At the bottom of the cover page, it says Committee Reference 8, Reference Number 15510. So all the covers look the same, but it's 21 September 2010, and Committee Reference 8, and then Reference Number 15510. Do members have that document? Thank you. The submission that came in late is from an informal traders group called the Traders Action Group. They are located in the Western Cape in Mitchell's Plain. And what the submission entails is some grievance and dissatisfaction about a process that they were subjected to during the some sort of merging strategy at the Mitchell's Plain Town Centre. And during that process, there were certain things that happened, and the members of the traders, the informal sector, were unhappy about how the whole shopping centre and the space allocated to them as informal traders came about. Now, the submission is rather lengthy, but having read the submission, what stands out and what I'd like to direct the members' attention to is the last few pages of the submission. I think it's the third page from the back. It's not numbered, but it has a heading that says Traders Action Group Demands. And it says what they need is the resignation of a Mr. Kenny Brinkes. They want the elections to be held as soon as possible. The City of Cape Town, the indifferent attitude that arose during the process. They want a commission of inquiry into the secret goings-on of surrounding developments in Mitchell's Plain, a commission of inquiry into Mr. Brinkhouse's involvement in the station plaza due to the undemocratic practices that the legality surrounding this inclusion of the two new associations be declared unconstitutional, null and void, that national governments should consider bringing about legislation that will curb the influx of cheap foreign products, especially Chinese, which causes injury to the future economic stability of South Africa and shop owners. That's essentially what they are bringing before this committee this morning, and I think that the honourable members will share my view that in that there's no demand being placed on this committee in respect of the constitution or a review of the constitution or a constitutional amendment. What also comes out of the submission is that it's a local government matter. The dispute lies within the jurisdiction of local government to address. It is not a dispute that falls before this committee, and that's basically my view that I put out to the committee in opinion 135.10. My view is that there's no matter that they're addressing for this committee to attend to, and that perhaps the matter should be directed to the appropriate local government authority. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Gov. Kaelin. Are we agreed there as well?
Agreed.
No discussions at all. Okay. Honourable...
Thanks. Honourable Chairperson. As I agree, but I always want to know the process. Who informs? Are we going to be informing these traders, or we're going to take this as this committee to the Committee on Local Government? Thank you.
Yeah, I think as we agreed previously that whatever comes to the committee, if you refer directly to the people involved to cut the red tape. So we refer it to the local government, the respective people, or the right people at the local government level. If it needs to go to the provincial level, we have to also refer it to them. So in order, but we inform the traders union or the traders association that we refer the matter to the relevant authority.
What's the decision, Chairperson? So that we know exactly where is it referred to. It shouldn't be just relevant. I'm one person, one specific, so that when we audit implementation, we know exactly that it has been referred to this. We had a directive. Thank you.
I think in this case, it's the local authority that is key. So we refer to the local authority. Are we agreed then?
Agreed.
Thank you. Okay, Honourable Members, I forgot to welcome our visitors, the PMG, I think Salga is here as well, and any other party who is coming to the committee, we are all welcomed. It's just in the nature of this committee that we always in a hurry and we want to make use, economic use of the little time that we have. Okay, Honourable Members, as I propose that from the Chair, I'm a bit autocratic today, that we will go straight to the submissions, the 2010 submissions. As you are aware that we've gone through some of the submissions. There are those that warrant to be looked into by the committee or to be considered by the committee, and there are those that we need to be referred to the relevant departments or committees or authority. Can we go into those submissions? We have had 8 submissions in total. There were submissions from Dr. Naidu. There were actually 2 submissions from Dr. Naidu. There were submissions from the projects abroad, submissions from Mr. Mtwenenyi, Traders Action Group, from Vashakwane Manzi Mnyama, and from the National House of Traditional Leaders. When you go through the submissions, there are actually about 3 submissions that perhaps the committee needs to ponder or to consider. But there are about 5 submissions. In my view, I think we can be disposed of or be referred to the relevant people or authorities. If I may just guide your committee, that is submissions number 3 by Dr. Naidu on section 92, 2 and chapter 9. and the submission also by Dr. Naidu on section 165(3) and section 182(3) of the Constitution. That is submission number 3 and submission number 4 in our reference, committee reference. And the submission number 5, reference number 5, by Project Abroad, of which the complaint of section 27. And the submission number 6 by Mr. Mtsweneng on section 34, you know, the judicial system. And the one you just said now, submission number 8, of which you have already done with the traders group. In essence, you left it now 4. Can you go then to submission number 3 by Dr. Naidu on section 92(2) of the Constitution and chapter 9?
Thank you, Chair. I think the honourable members may or may not recall the presentation in the last committee, and what section 92 was about was that Mr. Naidu was writing to the committee to complain about the accountability of the executive to the president. His view was that reading section 92 sub 2 of the Constitution, it created the impression that members of the executive are only accountable to Parliament, and he was saying perhaps we should be amending the Constitution to make the members of the executive accountable to the president. In my view to the committee, I expressed that accountability to the president is inherent in the relationship that the president exercises as the head of cabinet in respect to his executive team, and I was of the view that a constitutional amendment is not needed to bring about the concept of accountability of members of the cabinet to the president. So that was the one in respect of section 92 sub 2. Then there was Mr. Naidu's proposal that chapter 9 institutions, some of them be merged, and his proposal was that the Commission of Gender Equality be subsumed into the Ministry of Women, Children and Persons with Disabilities. My view in that regard was that if we do that, we would be merging an independent constitutional body into the executive, and so I do not support that submission by Mr. Naidu. The next proposal that he makes was the South African Human Rights Commission, the Commission for Promotion and Protection on the Rights of Cultural, Religious and Linguistics Communities, and the Pan-South African Language Board be merged into one giant structure. And my view was that following on the 2007 review of Chapter 9 institutions, that report had indeed made certain recommendations, and they were looking at one giant human rights body. And my view to the committee was that legally, if the committee was to decide to take further this recommendation, then the committee would have to keep in mind that it's a mammoth task lying ahead that would require consultation between Parliament and the executive. But legally, I cannot advise on that point. That's a policy decision that this committee would have to decide, but also taking into account the logistics surrounding such an amendment. The other issue in number 3 that Mr. Naidu raised was the fact that he was of the opinion that the Public Service Commission should be abolished, that their functions should be usurped into the Health and Research Council, and then the rest of their functions be sent to the CCMA. And as I indicated in the last meeting, the CCMA deals with labour grievances that are separate to government. We have a general government bargaining council that addresses the labour issues in respect of the public service. And so to put public service matters within the jurisdiction of the CCMA is exactly what our legislation undone a couple of years ago. And if that happens, then it's a legislative amendment that goes against what was created a couple of years ago. Also that the Public Service Commission be relocated to the presidency. But, Chairperson, that's also issues for the committee to decide whether or not that's feasible. And that's basically the extent of the submission fee from Mr. Naidu. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Advocate. Honourable members, the point in your court. Honourable Dean.
Chair, do I remember correctly that we have put the Chapter 9 bodies, as well as the Chapter 9 review, on our work list for the year.
Plan, yes.
So would it not be appropriate to, in respect of that aspect of this gentleman's submission, to advise him that we are in fact going to have a look at the proposals that came from the Chapter 9 review, and that we may very well at that time consider his proposals as well?
What's the view of the members? Honorable Schmidt?
Yes.
And where is that?
But I mean, the proposal's only in respect of the Chapter 9 bodies. His
bodies,
other,
yeah.
What is the right way to deal with his the Chapter 10 one? I don't agree. I mean, the Public Service Commission, we don't want to disturb it.
Honorable Bloom?
Chapter 10, I agree, but we must not create expectation from this person that we are going to deal with his. I agree with the proposal, but we must be very clear that it will be a general thing, not specifically on his thing. But I agree with the proposal.
Yes, from our side, we also agree with the proposal to refer that one aspect to our later work, but we are in agreement with the legal advisor's opinion on the other issues. And they should be disposed of accordingly.
Chairperson, just quickly, I've requested last time that we find out a little bit more. You know, we've got the email address of Dr. Nider.
Very busy.
We don't know whether he exists.
He's very busy.
Quite frankly. You know, he's got lots of time, but whether he exists, I don't know. Whether it was somebody else doing it on his behalf, I don't know. But I think the Secretariat must have some sort of interaction with him to say, I don't know.
Doesn't mean we play the ball. Oh, the man and not the ball.
Well, the man must exist.
Okay, honourable members, you will then inform Dr. Naidoo that in section 92, subsection 2, we are not keen to amend the constitution on it. We look into his query on the chapter 9 institutions, but it's not a promise that we will review anything there. And they were against the merging of the Public Service Commission into that. Okay, can you go then to the submission number 4? It's also part of 92.
No, Chairperson, I think that is Mr. Mia.
Oh, Mr. Mia. Oh, okay.
One you're referring to?
Yeah.
Thank you. I'll be presenting Committee Reference 4 as well. It was work prepared by a colleague of mine, Mr. Venora. But essentially what Mr. Mia is requesting in his submission is that the powers of the public protector should be extended. He writes and he says he's not happy with section 165.3, which basically says no person or organ of state may interfere with the functioning of the courts. And then he refers to 182 sub 3, which says the public protector may not investigate court decisions. And he says then that following on that, section 186.4 of the Constitution, which relates to functioning, should be extended to include the public protector's function to inquire into court decisions, and that judging on that response, I don't think I need to go further to it.
That is definitely not acceptable. The courts are independent. There is a complaints mechanism that has been dealt with through the Judicial Services Commission. We've got an ad hoc committee that's dealing with complaints against judicial officers, and it wouldn't be right for a Chapter 9 institution to start looking into the affairs of the courts. That's particularly why that legislation was drafted in that form and why the Constitution was phrased in that manner. Obviously, this person has got a gripe with some judge, and but he doesn't indicate that. But there is already mechanisms to deal with complaints against the judiciary, not via the public protector. Thank you, Chair.
Is the unanimous decision that the submission be disposed with? OK. Okay, we'll inform the Mr. Mayor that his submission is not acceptable. We cannot change constitution. Can we go to submission number 5 then, by project approach?
Chair, my apologies. I need to ask for to be excused. I hope I've made a contribution. Thank you.
You made sure you did quickly.
you're excused.
Likewise, and I've read the legal opinion on the project abroad and agree with it.
Now we can get on with the rail work when they've gone.
Chairperson,
no, thank you. I have a little bit of a challenge with this one. Advocate Fasson is not here, but from the notes that we took, the committee was happy with the recommendation in Advocate Fasson's opinion. So let me just see what his recommendation was. It's a very short opinion. And in total, it actually in some cases that it hasn't proposed. Thank you.
Honourable members, there is no proposal that actually in the short that as the submission does not propose amendment to the constitution, it does not fall within the parameters of the brief. Can we get dispose of this one as well and inform the submitter likewise? Thank you. And then can you go to submission number 6 by Mr. Mutwene, section 34.
Thank you, Chairperson. Once again, a colleague of mine, Mr. Bernardo, attended to that matter, and I'll be presenting that. What was submitted was basically a restructuring of the court system to replace the magistrates court with the community court, to replace the high court with the human rights court, and to replace the Supreme Court of Appeal with the constitutional court. And he's basically saying that the current court structure must be overhauled, but the courts that he's recommending to replace whatever work we already have as courts in South Africa, all these courts are functioning. So Mr. Bernardo's view is that what the person is proposing does not necessitate an amendment to the constitution, and that's the gist of his opinion. Thank you, Chair.
Let's hear the views of the members. Honourable Chair?
Accepted.
Honourable Bloom?
Accepted, Chair.
Honourable Schmidt?
Yeah, I don't think there could be any debate about it. The Chief Justice is currently busy restructuring the office and the court system, and I think anything outside that parameter would probably be irresponsible. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, honourable members. Then we will inform the submitter it has been rejected. Can we go now to? Oh, they're all done. Okay, we're left with submission number 7. No, submission 3, 2, and submission number 2. Can you go to submission number 2? I think I've gone through that, but can you just remind members?
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Submission 2 was from Batlhakwana ba Manzimnyama. Batlhakwana are proposing an amendment of Section 25 of the Constitution on the basis that there needs to be a section in the Constitution that provides for expropriation of land from minorities, and they argue that the willing buyer, willing seller approach is unaffordable for government. I looked at Section 25 of the Constitution, and Section 25 of the Constitution provides from subsections 1 to 4 for it protects property rights of owners against arbitrary dispossession, and Section 2 provides that land may only be expropriated in terms of the law of general application. That law is the Expropriation Act of 1975. And subsection 3 sets out grounds that have to be taken into consideration when an expropriation is taking place. Those are the current use of the property, the history of acquisition and the use of property, the market value of the property, the extent of direct state investment and subsidy in the acquisition of the property, and the purpose of the expropriation. The Constitution provides for expropriation in the public interest, and that is defined to include the commitment to land reform. And when you look at subsection 8 of section 25, in subsection 8, the Constitution also recognizes that there might be circumstances for land reform purposes or reform purposes that expropriation might need to be done outside of the grounds provided for in subsections 1 to 4. And I'm of the view, Chairperson, therefore, that the problem is not with the Constitution, but firstly with the Expropriation Act, which goes beyond the grounds laid by the Constitution, because in setting out things that have to be taken into account when deciding on an expropriation, the Act goes beyond those grounds laid out in Section 25 of the Constitution. And the Constitution does recognize that there might need to be expropriations for reform purposes, and it recognizes that in those cases the government can come up with legislation that expropriates, but in a way ignoring some of the grounds that are in Section 25. So long as the government can prove that that is for reform purposes and it's in the public interest. I am of the view, therefore, that an amendment of the Constitution is not necessary, but Parliament might want to relook at the Expropriation Act to bring it in line with the Constitution, first of all. And secondly, if there are needs for reform purposes to expropriate, subsection 8 of the Constitution may be used for such purposes. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, honourable members, if I can just remind you that this is the third submission we're getting since the committee started. In our legacy report, there was also submission on this issue. We've got submission from Dr. Mutsukupeku, who was requesting that Section 25 actually be totally changed or removed from the Constitution. We've got NGO Asikulume, I think it's from Cape Town as well, or they also were complaining about Section 25 of the Constitution that it needs to be reviewed. We have had also LRC, Legal Resource Center, which were also complaining that Section 25 needs to be reviewed. This is actually the fourth submission to the committee, inclusive of the previous submissions from the previous committee in the last term. Can I hear the views of the members on the legal opinion, and perhaps we could look further or debate it further? Honourable Schmidt, your final thoughts first, and then Honourable Nube.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I think the opinion is quite correct. I think we need to distinguish between the constitutional imperative, which in my view has been dealt with, and the political views or otherwise of the different parties. That is something which can be dealt with in the legislation in terms of 25.5 or 25.8, and there the legislative requirements can be revisited. But in terms of a constitutional amendment, I think the Constitution does make a necessary scope, allows necessary scope for legislation to determine one way or the other the factors to be taken into account in expropriation. So I would go along with this opinion.
Honourable Ngobe.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. Our Chairperson, I would agree with the legal opinion, but on the proviso that we put process of either engaging with the pardon me, I don't know whether it's justice, Minister of Justice, or the Justice and Constitutional Development, I'm not sure where is it, the review of this Act, Expulsion Act, where does it fall? But we need to engage the relevant ministry and also discuss the portfolio in terms of this, because if we're more than five or four submissions, let's take that, let's put it in our program and then engage the relevant ministry and the portfolio, and then so that they can take it forward. Thank you.
Another range?
I'm pleased you separated this one from the other four or five we've dealt with. I would hate to simply reject this one out of hand, because I think maybe the time has now come to take a closer look at Section 25, especially in the light of the difficulties one is having with land reform in the country. And each and every time Section 25 of the Constitution is quoted as an obstacle to that project. And so I think let's park it. Look at getting more opinion, expert opinion, maybe even having a hearing on the issue. But I think the time has come for us to take a closer look at Section 25. I generally agree with the legal opinion, but what I'd hope the legal opinion would have stressed would have been this willing seller, willing buyer, which is embedded, and that's the difficulty. Willing seller, willing buyer is embedded in Section 25. In Section 25, 2B, willing seller, willing buyer is the problem. And I don't think that has been addressed sufficiently by the legal opinion. And that in particular, I think one would need to take a look at. And so I would not be in favor of simply rejecting this. I would certainly be in favor of in parking it, putting it in our program, and dealing with it in some other way, more extensively than we have perhaps in the past.
Jefferson, thank you very much. Now, the issue here is it a constitutional issue or is it a legislature issue? That the legal advice is saying that we must take the route of legislation, not tampering with the Constitution. That is the advice. I will go along with Nube to say, let us engage with the other committee relevant to this matter, so that we must also show them the urgency of this matter. We can't only say, no, we reject it. We must say that we are going to engage the relevant committees dealing with this thing. And that must be our report. Thanks.
Honourable, is this a follow-up? Can I get Honourable Dekhashi and can come again? Honourable.
Yeah, Chair. I think I want to agree that we can't reject this thing completely. Because if it's the fourth or the fifth submission, then there are signs that something is not right. We need to take it to these various processes which has been proposed by the two comrades. Thank you. That is the portfolio committees are also affected by this.
Honourable Roy, and then.
Let us contact the relevant portfolio committees, but also reserve the right as this committee to look at the issue. Because I'm not a constitutional lawyer. I don't understand how, given Section 25(2)(b), which is willing seller, willing buyer, embedded in the Constitution, how you can use legislation then to counteract that. I'm not saying it ought to be done, but I'm saying we ought to discuss it and look at it. Because time and time again, it is that particular section which is being noted as being an obstacle to much of what this government wishes to do.
Honourable Nube, Honourable Koranoff, and then I'll come back to you.
Honourable Chairperson, I don't think there's a difference here. We're saying let's take this matter as part of our program and give it an agency it deserves. And as part of our program, we'll engage the ministry, the relevant portfolios, and we will interact if, at the end, it only warrants amendment of Section of Expropriation Act only. That should be the outcome. If it will, at the end, warrant amendment of the Expropriation Act of 1975 plus the constituent will jointly adjudicate that in terms of what should be the outcome at the end.
Great.
So why not differ? Thank you.
I hear what the members are saying, but I don't think it's such a simple matter.
Mm.
It's not about the numbers of representations we've had. You know, it's about the substance and whether it is an issue, without doubt. But I don't think we can do the work for the government here. I think government must now come with a legislation in terms of the Expropriation Act, and then obviously it will go through the motions. It will be tested. I think she's right in terms of her legal opinion. I think there's lots of hot air about Section 25, but I think the Act will probably in the end stand in terms of the concept of willing buyer and or willing and able. So my concern is if we pick now on one specific clause because it is relevant in the debate in South Africa, what will happen if we have 10 submissions about the death penalty? Will we then go there?
I don't think
we can ever go there. But what I'm saying is we must stick to our brief as a committee and let things go through the motions. Let's say we've had 3 or 4. Land affairs must do their job now and bring the legislation to Parliament.
Can I give to Honourable Schmidt and Plum then?
We all agree.
I agree with Mr. Koornhof, I'll just be shorter. No, what I'm saying is I understand that there's an imperative to refer it to another committee, but I don't think there's an imperative to keep the matter on the agenda. I mean, it's not our brief to have oversight of other committees, what they do, what they don't do, and whether they apply the nature of pressure. It's our task to say outright, we don't accept it, or secondly, we refer it to committee. In terms thereof, I would just suggest to refer it to committee This clause by itself, 25, does allow for legislation. And as long as legislation is in concert with the Constitution, we're fine. And that can be amended. But as long as it's in concert here, and I don't think it needs to be a constitutional review committee issue, it's a justice or land affairs matter. Thank you.
I disagree.
Honourable
Chairperson, we are debating something that we have agreed on. Honestly, you know, the word engaging means that this committee and that other committee will sit like this and talk about that. Let us close this thing. There's an agreement.
With one
legal advisor?
And I just wanted to indicate that there was a bill before the Public Works Committee, a new expropriation bill at some stage, and there was very interesting legal opinion from very senior counsel throughout the country submitted in respect of the bill. And whoever's going to pick up on this issue can use the wisdom of some of the issues raised in the legal opinions.
Mm.
And I'm sure a committee section would have record of that.
Okay, let me close this issue, Honourable Members, by saying that we will engage with the issue and engage with other committees and also get the advice of the exploration process that was done, as you suggested, so that we can deal with this issue to our satisfaction, and only leave it to the other committee or to the other people, then we know that we've dealt with it to our satisfaction. However, in the meantime, I think we should inform the people who make submissions that the matter is still under consideration, and not that we're going to change the position, just that the matter is still being processed, and they will let them know in due course. Can you do that? Because if some have been waiting for over 2 years now, then no answer. Okay, can you go then to the next one? Submission by Dr. Naidu on section 216. It's a very short thing on the sustainability.
Which number?
We'll take a seat.
Number what?
Oh, it's submission number 32. Our reference is 32.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's in fact a very short one. Dr. Nader proposes that the word sustainable be incorporated into section 216 because he is of the view that often salaries and expenditure of departments are way in excess of what it needs to be and often without justification. And in his view, if the word sustainable is incorporated into the provision, then it would address that concern. So it's simply for the committee to look at section 216 and weave in the word sustainable if the committee considers it appropriate. 216 deals with, sub 1 says national legislation must establish a national treasury and prescribe measures to ensure both transparency and expenditure control in each sphere of government by introducing, and he's, I think, suggesting that sustainable must be one of these subsections under 1, that the word sustainable expenditure must be included.
There it is, honourable members.
Yes, thanks, Jefferson. The legal advice saying the committee may consider inserting the word sustainable where appropriate. That's what you're advising. Chairperson, no one will die. I would agree.
Honourable Grant.
Chair, thanks. You know, any responsible government, when budgeting for increases, should look at sustainability anyway. So to put it into the constitution. I haven't got an issue with doing it, but for what good reason? You know, and different governments are going to come, different governments are going to go. What is sustainable to some? So, but you can, I haven't got an issue with that.
Rejected.
I don't think it's necessary.
Another
one, Ralph? Yeah, well, I fully agree, you know. What is sustainable? You know, we will probably in the next 10 years have case law about what is sustainable in terms of legislation.
Well,
so, no, I cannot agree with this.
Just clarity. Can the Lenet people tell us, is PFMA and local government, public the Finance Act of local government, doesn't it cover these concerns that he's raising? Thank you.
Yes, thank you. I think I agree with what the members say, that sustainable is a relative term which is very difficult to analyse, and yes, there will be several court cases which may change over time as to what sustainable means. And it's not a term that I would personally incorporate into a provision in the Constitution. Legislation generally has detail, so if sustainable has a specific meaning in a specific context, that legislation in its context will spell out what is expected. But insofar as it is something that this committee must consider either way, I am saying the committee may consider whether or not to include the word. And in my personal view, it is not not a word that should be included.
Agreed.
Honourable?
No, Chairperson. I disagree that we must put this word in. It's very dangerous to put such a word in. We are having a government now that can spend a lot of money and whatever. And then you budget and you see, it's a broad word, sustainability, very broad. Let us leave it and reject it outright.
Okay.
or the most governments will come and go, but there will still be expenditure that is sustainable.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, we can dispose this and we'll inform the submitter as such. Can come to the last one, I think, by National Health Traditional Lands on section, or chapter 12 in short.
What number?
On section 2.1 and section 2.1.2.
What number is that?
That is, it's number 7. Reference number 7, National House of Traditional Lands. They want everything to be included in the Constitution, not the Traditional Leaders Framework Act. It's a framework act, but it's a framework of traditional leaders of what their work, what their status, and all that stuff. They want that to be included in the Constitution, and that no other authority should tamper with the existence of traditional leaders. They also want it to be included in the Constitution. Oh, Perry, can you let the legal advisor to go through that?
Thank you. I'm relieved Mr. Amjaseen is not here today. Anyway, there are two provisions that the National House of Traditional Leaders wanted the committee to address. The one is section 211. And in respect of section 211, the NHPL proposes that the following two provisions be included in the section. Sub 4, the institution of traditional leadership is hereby guaranteed. That is the specific wording that they want. Then sub 5, Parliament shall not enact any legislation which confers on any authority the right to withdraw the recognition of the institution on traditional leadership. So it wants two things. It wants a guarantee in the Constitution, which the Constitution can do, but which the committee must decide whether it's desirable or not. But the second thing that they want is that Parliament may never legislate in any way that can impact on this recognition. So what I concluded last time, and what Mr. Ambrosini had a little bit of a problem with, was that I was of the view that there can never be perpetual guarantee of any right. Now, Mr. Ambrosini is right. The Constitution can guarantee a right, but it's not perpetual in the sense that the Constitution can be changed, and Parliament has the freedom to legislate on the Constitution and other legislation, providing it's consistent with the Constitution. So what this committee is now faced with is this a very strong proposal to almost create a perpetual guarantee of the institution, and to the extent that the provisions relate to the Constitution, it's something that the committee must now consider again either way, whether it's desirable or not to have this guarantee, and or whether legislation is sufficient in addition to the existing guarantees. In respect of 2112, the NHPL requests that two sections that's actually in the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act, which sets out the powers and functions of the National House of Traditional Leaders, those two full sections must be incorporated, this is the request, must be incorporated as they are into the Constitution. And in my view, such detail is not usually incorporated in the Constitution, but again, it's something that the committee has to make a policy decision on. And I agree, a very contentious one. So it's really for the committee to discuss and consider.
Hush. We have one traditional leader here. In the name of Mrs. Dikhal. Can you hear your opinions, honourable members? I know we touched a little on this issue. The last time, if I remember, we said National House Traditional Leaders
was supposed to make a submission. They were still busy correlating or meeting, whatever. They'll come and make their submissions. We said, okay, we'll wait for them until they make their submissions. So, but yeah, I'm putting again this issue in front of the committee to deal with it. We haven't heard from them as yet. So let's wait for them. Yeah, and I know that my co-chair is also very sensitive to the issue of traditional leaders. So we put in abeyance until we get their submission.
Agreed.
Agreed?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, Honorable Khoshi?
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Chairperson. I agree. They're going to have their national conference on the 15th. And I believe they'll take care of this. Wait for them. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Honourable Members. That was the last issue on the submissions. Yeah, okay. Okay, Honourable Members, basically we have got two submissions for this year that we have to deal with. It's on Section 25 of the Constitution and the Section, or the Chapter 12 of the Constitution on Section 211 and 212. Don't forget that we still have standing matter of which is Sisitu Salibu and the like. We also have to deal with that when we come back in the next term. It's in our agenda. And also that from time to time we will, as Ambrosini and according to our strategic plan, have to look, the committee take initiative to look into the Constitution to say which section or chapter do we have to consider again. We need to take that initiative. We've been to overseas, a trip overseas, first ever for the committee to go overseas. And there's a report. Can we go into that? You are excused. Thank you for coming, our legal department. And we hope you're not seeing you for the last time. Oral members, can you go to the next issue, of which is the report, or the oversight report? It's an oversight or study tour report on tourism. May I point out that we don't intend to adopt the report today because the members, I think they've just got it yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. Can members go through it and look into it and make proposals and suggestions, Honourable Bloom?
I will propose, Chairperson, let the members take this report to their offices, go through it. If there's anything that is not clear, then the next meeting, the members can put their differences or whatever in, and then we adopt the report. That is my proposal.
Can I perhaps amend your proposal to say, no, let's not wait for the next meeting, but if members have got the issue to suggest, can they email or fax through to the committee section, to our secretary, so that they compile the report. When you come the next time, we already have got input from members. Wow, how will that sound?
I agree with your amendment.
Also recommendations. Okay. Right, what's the next on the agenda? Remember, we also have got the 2011 program on the agenda. Have members got the proposed agenda? I mean, the proposed program for next year. The first term, the first 6 months. The first term. It goes as far as the next 6 months, but we'll look at the first term. Can you just browse through it? We know it's subject to change because of the parliamentary program as well, but can you browse through it, whether you agree with some of the issues there? Honorable.
Another proposal again.
Yes.
A program is a guide and not a static thing. I will propose that we adopt this program, and as it goes, we will be there with any change of the, but at least you have given us a guide. What can we expect for the next term? And I don't think that we must go into this debate, this thing, and so on. That is my concrete proposal.
There's a proposal. Any counter? Rochelle, the VA.
Thank you.
Thank you. I support it. Okay, thank you, honorable members. Can I come to the last issue that is not on the agenda? Oh, honorable.
Sorry, Chairperson, before you go to the last issue, can you talk about the time for the starting of the meeting?
Okay. What do you propose?
I propose that we start at 8 o'clock or half past, so that we have time to go and connect to Limpopo, because the flights are limited.
Can you be exact, 8 o'clock or half past 8?
8 o'clock.
There's a proposal, honourable members, that we start our meetings at 8, so that around about by 11, up past 11, you are done, and members can go home. What's your view? Honourable Jihaj.
We support the Hoshita.
Honourable Schmidt. I'm honestly impressed by the work ethics in this committee.
Honourable Bloom.
You will support it because he's staying in Cape Town. That's the only reason that he's supporting. But I also support the proposal.
Thank you, honorable members. There's one last issue of which I'd like to bring to the committee. It's not up for discussion. I said I'm going to be autocratic today. The issue is not up for discussion, honorable members. But is the issue what happened when we were overseas in Strasbourg? some members were aggrieved by the action of other members because of the material conditions on the ground. Before we left, I did inform you that we found very substandard conditions. I would not say substandard, but the hotels we got into were very low related, start to hotels and so forth. And as such, some members were aggrieved by the conditions, and they contracted some of our members, and that resulted in some tensions. Subsequently, members, they came and apologized whilst in Strasbourg with a meeting with the members who were involved, and they apologized, and they profusely asked us to say we must convey the apologies to the committee. It won't happen again, and they deeply regret what happened because of the material conditions on the ground. So I like to convey those to members. Unfortunately, Dean is not here, Ambrosine is not here, and the Inconceivable Miss are not here. But that's what happened, honorable members. We hope in future it won't happen, and we all leave the country as a team, and we come back as a team. And as we're working here, working as a team. And also to the staff, because there were other members as well who, in my view, were in a way not... communication was not good to the staff, and they also profusely apologized for that. So I said it's not up for discussion, all members, it's just that nobody's infallible. So we just have to accept the apology and move forward. And I agree with the issue.
No, we agree, Chair. I'm having also a complaint against Kuhaitu, and I want the committee to discuss that thing in detail about him. But I agree with it for now.
I will have a written.
You still have much here.
Okay, the meeting is not over, it's not over,
it's
not.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable members, can we?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. We accept the apology and we believe the members will behave themselves next time. But I just want to make this appeal to our leaders that they should talk to the staff so that we know how do we deal with the staff. Because sometimes, as you ask them, they refuse. We don't even know. Sometimes they are angry. We are new members. We don't know how must we work with the staff.
Okay, I'm gonna suppress you. I said the matter is not up for discussion. All members, the meeting was fruitful and the meeting has changed. Until we meet next time, have a festive season, go and rest. Don't do what I won't do. And have a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Thank you very much. My case will come up with a new season.